You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am sitting here with Grace Bukumi. You are a stylist, a photographer, like creative. How do you define yourself?
I just like to make beautiful things happen. But I guess technically, yeah, I would describe myself as a photographer and a stylist and a content director, an art director as well.
Nice.
Which I define as two different things, but they can definitely intersect in a lot of projects, depending on what it is.
Yes, because yeah. Being the art director means you have to think of the overall strategy. Yeah. Who's the audience for this? What do you want people to
definitely?
How do you want them to feel when you see this image? Yeah. All of that stuff.
Without a doubt. And also find the right people to fulfill those different pieces as well.
Yeah.
While content is just like the flow and stream of things. Sometimes I do, like, it gets confusing because people are like, oh, you're a publicist. I'm like, no, I just work with a lot of different content partners. I understand.
You know
a
lot of people. I feel like I hit you up all the time and I'm like, I need a photographer. And you're like, I've got someone. I need a videographer. You're like, I've got someone.
I love that. I love that's become my personality because that wasn't my personality when I was young. I was never the like kid. I was just like talking to everyone and in everyone's face. I was so shy and I forced myself to do that.
Really?
So when people, yes.
You don't seem like you would be shy.
Oh,
you've got this
shy.
Like big hair, like you're always wearing something amazing.
I shock myself sometimes with like how extravagant I can be because when I was younger, I would like every year I'd force myself to say like one more word in school.
Really?
And like in presentations, I would like cry and run out the room because I was so shy.
Really?
So in my adult life, when people are like, oh, you know this, you know everyone, blah, blah, blah. Like, who don't you know? It kind of shocks me. I'm like, really? You think that? That's just awesome.
So how long have you been doing what you're doing now?
I would say like the last 5 years have been like solid, concentrated on doing it. I think I was just focused on photography only when I first moved to LA, which is kind of where I started my career. Part of where I started my career, I was just doing that. And then I just loved doing everything else and learning from people. Mm. So I would shadow photographers and they would need help with styling. So I would do that. So it kind of just like kept building gradually. And then I got my first job, like my first stream of content job at High Snobiety, and I started working with them.
High Snobiety is so cool.
Yeah, it's a cool little mag, and I ended up, I was commissioned for one job to work with them, like for Afropunk about a couple of years ago. And
I've never been to Afropunk. Is that really sad?
Okay, I love Afropunk, but I also don't like chaos. I am a little bit claustrophobic.
Yeah, okay, same. Like,
I do go to a lot of festivals, but it's mostly for work, and I like have to focus on just like getting
the shots you need to get.
But do I want to be like just around a million people the entire time? Not really.
Yeah.
But is the music amazing? The fashion amazing? The style amazing? The people amazing?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to go to the one in Paris.
Oh.
Just like once. Just to see it.
Have to. I do too. And it's one in South Africa I'm hoping to go to this year, but we'll see. I don't know if it's even happening this year. Yeah, so I started working with them, and then that kind of translated into me being here for in New York for 4 months, and then working with like Hypebeast and other platforms that are similar to them. And that was kind of when I started to understand the landscape of content direction and what that meant for mostly fashion brands. And I was able to translate that for like Nike and Visco and Finish Line, and also for musicians.
And those are brands that have money and budget. Like those are the best clients to have.
Because
the editorial publishing stuff is cool, but like you need a major brand to give the good budget.
It is, but the major brands also don't try to pay.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's branded content. Branded content, they absolutely have to because it involves like the influencer. If it involves so many different pieces, yeah. But when it's editorial, they're always like, how about we just invite you to this thing and we send you like 20 pairs of shoes and then like.
Yeah, I know. I know the hustle. So we got into your career like really fast and I just want to go back a bit. Where are you from?
I'm from Lagos, Nigeria.
Okay. I'm dying to go there. I just saw all the Fashion Week pictures.
You have to go.
My friend Sarah just did her show there.
What's her line?
Sarah Giuff, and her line's called Tangoro. It's sick. It's really good.
Lagos Fashion Week is the most inspirational. Like, it's one of the most inspirational Fashion Weeks. I got a chance to... Actually, I started my career in South Africa.
Okay.
So LA was like the real like, okay, I'm working, I'm moving around. But South Africa was the first place I ever got an opportunity to do editorial work, which is what I did for like a year straight.
Okay, but you're young.
Yeah, I guess so, like relatively.
I mean, but, like, I feel like also working in this industry, like what does young even mean?
I don't know. Like I don't know. I was on set yesterday with my friends and most of them were like 20, 21, 22.
Really?
23.
No, they're babies.
Yeah, and I'm just like, we were doing a shoot for Bali. I'm like, wow, this old European brand just trusts all these kids, including myself, to like put on this video shoot for them. And that's beautiful. But I'm like,
but they're trying to get some of that young, young swagger.
It's part of it. It's part of it. And it's like, I don't know that, I don't know what you, like, and obviously we know youthfulness is and youth means, but what is age nowadays? Like, when everything's so young or anything's, I don't know. It's, I always think about that.
Age is very arbitrary. And I feel like some people are totally ageless.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Without doubt. And even, I think in the last week, I've met a couple of 40-year women that I'm, like, astonished, one, that they're 40 years old.
Yeah. Are they black women? Because I feel like...
Yeah, they have been black women. So there's that. But it's even, like, to the point where I'm just like, I understand that black doesn't crack, but, like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You actually look younger than me. Like,
yeah,
I don't,
it's crazy.
Like, you look like you're 20 years old.
I know, it's crazy.
And you have this youthfulness, this liveliness about you. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And they also do really cool jobs, you know, that are, like, really hip. Yeah. And I'm like,
That's why young people need to, like, rest and, like, take their vitamins and, like, work hard so that when you are 40, you can have that young, youthful spirit and a great career.
Yeah,
because I feel like you can get burned out really quick.
Without a doubt. And there are a lot of people, young people who are, like, claiming that they're burnt out or saying that they are definitely burnt out. And that's, like, the most popular notion. And it shouldn't be like that.
Totally.
You know, like, why? Totally. Why are you 23 years old and burnt out? Like, what do you mean? You only had 23 years on this earth.
I know. Okay, so you grew up in Lagos.
Yeah.
Did you go to, like, one of these all-girls schools where everyone wore the same uniform? And did you have that whole experience?
I did. I did go to a private school. We did have uniforms.
Okay.
And very strict teachers.
Did you have to change your hair? This is something that I just learned from my other guests.
Yeah,
you have to, like, change your hair all the time.
Very strict rules. Well, not change it, but there are very strict rules on how you can wear your hair.
Right.
And I also grew up in the church, so even more strict rules.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
How to look, like, how to be. I was only allowed to wear skirts. I literally, like, started sneaking around wearing pants. And I was, like, in the U.S., 16, would straight up sneak out of my house to go wear pants before I went to school because I was so embarrassed.
So are your parents strict and religious?
Very. But super loving, though. It's
okay.
They aren't, you know, lacking understanding or perception of what the world is. Like, I just sometimes wish I knew my dad. Like, my dad's a, you know, preacher, and he's great, like, super profound. But he used to be the little, like, little party monster.
Really?
Yeah, because I still hear stories from friends and his sister. And I'm like, wow. They used to call him, like, the Michael Jackson of his little town because he would, like, be the, you know, the one dancing at all the parties. And
oh my God.
I always wonder what that person was. And if I had that person in me as much as I have, like, the person who I know as my dad in me, too, like... There's always those, like, questions, but...
Do they worry about you being all the way in L.A. around rappers and movie stars?
But funny enough, that's why I don't go by my last name.
Okay, you've got, like, your alter ego. So your parents aren't following you on Instagram?
They might be. Every once in a while, my dad will ask, like, what is the point of this? Like, if I...
And you're like, how much time do you have? It's too long to explain.
And I did... my mom did call me after I worked with the Migos, and she had a lot of questions about that. because she didn't understand.
She was like, who are these boys?
Yeah. She's like, what is this doing with you? You know, what does this do with you? How does it relate to you? What does this mean for your life? Like, the grand scheme of things. And like, mom, like it's just a job.
They're just three guys from Atlanta.
You know?
So it's interesting because you photograph men and you photograph women.
Yeah.
And I think you approach both genders with a, like, very nice sensitivity. And sometimes, me looking at your photographs as an outsider, I feel like you photograph men as if they're women. And that's really nice.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, this intimacy.
Always very, like, sensitive.
Yes, yes.
That's
and
interesting,
like,
you say that. I've never thought about that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because, like, I'll go through your pictures and, like, you'll be taking, like, groups of people, but you photograph the men the same way you photograph the women, and you can see the female gaze on the men, and that's why I like the way that you shoot men, because usually, like, I feel like they try to, like, make guys, like, super tough and like, like, not good.
It's so weird you say that, and so funny, because even in my shoots, I do recall now instances where I've made them, like, really do things that I don't know if they would ever do if they're around other men, or even anyone knew that they were doing, they wouldn't probably do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just one part of my brain just trying to get a shot that's never been gotten before, or me just trying to get them to feel something that they've never, I don't know what it is, but that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I do recall several instances now. And I'm like, wow, I actually made Offset, like, lay on the floor and have someone throw money at him.
Oh my
and
God.
See how that felt. You know, like,
to be a fly on the wall. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You've shot with some amazing people. I love the Alicia Keys, like, book cover that you just did. That's insane.
Thank you. That
so
was
beautiful.
Great. That was
I mean,
lovely.
You've done, like, amazing, amazing work.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Brooke.
But I wanna get into, like, your formative years. Like, did you have an awkward period? Like, did you have a
My
period?
Whole life is awkward.
Really? I don't believe that. I can maybe buy that you were shy, but
I just didn't know what to say. I never knew what to say. That was, my biggest issue. And also being, you know, like, my parents were loving, but it's also very restrictive household. And we were talked to very strictly, very often.
Mm.
So there wasn't much room to be open-minded and vocal. And so even there are some times where I just even get sick of talking, because I'm not used to being able
to
just express myself the way I want to. And I kind of go back to those moments and I just get kind of quiet. But I think that's the only thing that makes me really awkward, is sometimes I just don't know what to say.
Really? But you're a Scorpio, which I feel like is associated with an intensity of emotions.
I feel like I'm tapping more into my Scorpio-ness. Like, I wouldn't say I relate to that at all, but I feel it getting way stronger. Where I sometimes have to ask people, like, am I being a Scorpio right now? Or am I, like which side of me am I, should I explore? The more rigid Scorpio, like, really intense side, or, like, the more peaceful, loving, like, God-raising, like, child, you know?
But both are part of who you are.
It is. It's very much true.
And it's so interesting how, like, as women, we come into ourselves slowly over time, and then you kind of reach a point. And I always wonder, like, am I at that point already? But like, when do you feel like, okay, this is the truest version of me?
Yeah,
I've reached
it. I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah, and I don't know if we ever are there. You know, right? Are
you
ever there? Are you ever there?
Because it also depends on how you view life. Like, I'm open to different interpretations of what life is and why we're here. So. But part of me also is really into, like, Buddhist texts, and, like, what if this is just one of our iteration of our life, and we're just meant to learn one thing only this entire time, and the next phase is supposed to learn a different thing, and we just pick up more and more things as we evolve, and not as, like, this physical body, but our soul, like, how we evolve over time. And so sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm just supposed to do one big thing here, or learn one major moment here and just move on to the next step.
Yeah.
Or
do you feel like you've been here before?
I do sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think people always characterize me as an old soul. And I really do feel that.
Like, yeah, same.
Really feel that sometimes. And obviously we have different things like deja vu that remind us of different places and different times, and a bunch of other words that we don't even know to describe those moments. Like, and I just, I don't know. I do feel like I've seen part of this earth before, but not in this way.
Not in this form. I feel that way too. Deja vu is such a complicated,
it's
like,
so complicated.
We have this word for it, but I feel like it's very difficult to describe. Like, you're seeing something, you're like, this has happened before, but I haven't experienced it as I'm experiencing it now, but I've experienced a version of this. Yeah. At least that's how it is for me.
Yeah, same here. And I wonder, like, why is that? Is it part of our brain that just is able to see in the future that we haven't been able to tap into? Because, you know, we only use like 10% of our brain. So maybe it's just part of our brain waves that can already like go into the future and understand something's going to happen and then feeds back to our present self. Or if I actually just felt this, lived this before, and I already know what's going to happen in that moment because I've replicated in a different time, place, or a different like universe.
Totally. It's so insane to think about.
You know, not the most popular view, I guess, of the world, but not even the one I was raised on in any way, shape, or form. But that's just how I feel, you know.
I'm trying to like mentally take in you growing up in this very religious household. I was thinking something totally different. So, okay. Yeah. Were you taught growing up shame around your body or showing your body or expressing yourself as a woman? You are
100%. When I mentioned earlier that when my dad would call and be like, what's going on? I was trying to be considerate because of him, and I love him to death, but he would usually call if like I posted a photo and I had like a little bit of my belly showing or my leg was showing and you know, or like my ankle gets, it can get away with my ankle, but like my knee.
Right.
My and knee you're like, showing.
You're like a waif. Like you're not in like the best nothing. Way. Like you have an amazing body, but like you don't, it's not like you have
voluptuous.
Like.
Voluptuous. I'm not where it would be. It would be breathtaking where if someone saw me naked, it probably wouldn't be. Like, all right, cool. You know, like, it just, I don't think I have that kind of body, but I love the body that I'm in. I appreciate it a lot more now.
But your dad will be like, a little too much leg.
No, yeah, a little too much. He's chilled out a lot because I just say I love you and thank you and I appreciate you. And I think he just takes that as like, well, what are you going to say to that? Like, if someone's just like, thank you, I appreciate it. I love you because these are real words. I feel towards him, but I don't agree with him. That showing my belly, you know, in the mid... Because it's not even like I dress that provocative.
No, I wouldn't say you do
at all. And
you have a very amazing sense of personal style and it's very eclectic and cool and reflective of your personality. But I wouldn't, provocative is not the top adjective that comes to mind.
I think I could be a lot more provocative, actually, to be honest. I could be a lot more, but I just don't even, I'm just being me. Like, I'm not trying to like please anyone or displease anyone.
Yeah.
And, I try to get them to understand that, but I also understand that if you're in a bubble for like a good part of your adult life for 20, 30 years, it's hard to see otherwise.
Yeah.
And I just have to move on from that, you know?
So if you weren't even allowed to wear pants, I assume you were not wearing makeup.
Oh, no.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
Like, what was your, like, did you ever have the chance to experiment with beauty when you were younger, or did it all happen once you went to South Africa?
Not really. Every once in a while.
Do you have siblings?
I have an older sister.
Okay, so she went through everything before you did?
She did. So the one thing I learned from my sister was just, like, the hair thing. But we were not allowed to wear makeup at all. I remember getting my makeup done with my friend for a prom that my parents like finally let me go to. Didn't tell him I was going to my boyfriend. but I finally went to it and my friend did my makeup and I made the mistake of coming home first before I went to go meet him.
Uh-oh.
My mom sees me with all this like purple, beautiful purple makeup and makes me wipe all of it off.
Oh no.
All of it off. Like she's like, why would you do that? Like, what does this mean?
Oh, no.
They just don't understand it.
Did you get a picture before?
My friend felt really bad, so she redid it a little bit on the way to prom. she's like, what? They did what? You know,
I didn't know you guys would have prom in Nigeria.
I should have explained. I was born in Nigeria, but I moved to Chicago.
Oh.
Well, yeah, when I was around 10 years old.
Okay.
And then from there, I moved to the suburbs for a little bit, like, you know, suburban life.
Okay.
For a couple of years. And then went to school in Illinois before I moved to LA.
Okay. Okay. So, so you had an American high school experience.
Yes. Without a doubt, which is why, like, I think if I stayed in Nigeria, I would have been shy, but I would have been way more open and vocal. But being an immigrant and not understanding how kids lived the way they did and how, like, no one else was, like, in a shelter. You know, everyone else is, like, to me, just different.
Right.
Because I was so sheltered.
Right. Did you feel ostracized for being, like, first generation?
I think I just didn't understand at that point. And I'm glad, maybe because of my parents, I just didn't understand hatred. Like, I didn't understand... not liking otherness or just weirdness. I just couldn't grasp it. I did later when I was like in college and I had more like historical studies and theories and all of these things that help you frame your mind. But when I was younger, I would have friends say really weird things like, oh, do they have Nikes in Nigeria? Or like, oh, did giraffes change your streetlights? You know, and then I had a friend. Yeah.
Do giraffes change your streetlights? Are you joking?
Yes. Wow. Straight up, I will never forget that.
And like then, top 10, like most ignorant things.
So bad. And I remember one of my closest friends told me, she's like, yeah, we're going to move to a different suburb because this suburb, my mom told me this suburb is getting too many black people. She's telling me this. And I'm like, okay. And I still don't at that moment think, like, obviously, I'm like, your mom's weird as, you know, but I'm not.
You're not equipped yet with the right language to respond.
I was like, no, I wasn't. And I just said, okay, like, all right, well, I hope you guys have fun wherever you go. You know, I didn't think about it in that way. Like, they're moving away because they're racist, not because I don't know what fear else they could have. I just didn't go to that extent. And I'm really privileged to be able to have thought that way for so long. But also is a school I went to when I first moved to the States, because I went to a Jewish school in Rogers Park, and everyone was a different race. And there was just no inkling of like hatred or separation. It was a gifted program, so it was like more fostered on just like integration and culture.
Yeah,
and
we're all smart here, let's get past the bullshit.
So I think college was when my eyes really opened up, like, oh, people are actually on some BS about what it means to be this color versus that color, you know. So I guess I was just really fortunate with that whole thing.
It's all good. It sounds like, from what you're telling me, your interest in like creating a look and style didn't necessarily come from home. So where did it come from? Were you like just up late at night watching music videos and you got into it? Like, how did you get this affinity towards what you do now?
I do think it came a little bit from home, like just having to dress up for church every Sunday. My mom has like two closets of custom made garments, like being Nigerian for one, like everything we do is custom. Like we don't, you know, it's like,
I've been to one Nigerian so wedding much. And I was just literally sitting, my mouth was just open the whole time. I was like, what? Like I didn't know where to look. Like everything was so over the top.
The bride would probably have like five dress changes.
Oh, she changed a thousand times. But it was amazing.
It's great. And then I also, my aunt is, honestly, one of my fashion icons, although she probably doesn't know it, because she's like the exact opposite of my dad and my mom. And she's just extravagant, has parties all the time, like has
nice. There's always that closets. One aunt.
Yeah, like aunt. Really gaudy jewelry, just like rows and rows and rows. And I always, when I was younger and I would go to her house in Chicago, I would just be in her room just staring like, wow, like, this is really cool. I like this. I know I like this. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with like that, but I like this a lot.
Okay.
And so she inspired me in a way. And also just my mom's like a pure lady. Like I don't think she's ever even had a foul smell around her once in her life. Like,
yeah.
Pure lady, like really always dressed, like always well-dressed. And, you know, would like iron my sheets when I moved to college, you know, like just that kind of person. So seeing her and how she was living, I really admired that. But I think the turning point for me was just being a nerd and like going to the library all the time. And I ran into discovered this one book of Alexander McQueen, and it just had these beautiful images. And I just didn't understand what these clothes meant, but I understand these emotions that he was describing and his love for women and passion for women and their bodies and embracing them and celebrating them. I just thought that was just so beautiful. So I discovered this book and I was just like tearing up as I was reading it, not knowing why. And I just fell so much in love with Alexander McQueen that I just decided like, okay, I'm going to be a fashion designer. Like I want to design clothes and make women feel like this. I want to make things that make people feel as beautiful and as loved as he was doing. And obviously, I'm not a fashion designer.
Yeah, but but you're still creating images, right? And emotions.
Yeah, I tried that. I really stayed home every, like, for two summers in a row just sketching dresses. So I do have, like, books and books and books of sketches.
It could come back.
You never know.
I'm ready for your line if you decide to bring it back.
You never know. But at some point, I decided, like, I don't know if I really want to do this. This is very technical, and I don't know. And also being Nigerian and, like, my parents just being like, you need to be a doctor. Like, there's no other thing you can do. And so I just felt like, okay, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a lawyer. But I love traveling the world and I love helping people. So I'll try to be a diplomat. And so I went to school for international relations while still loving fashion and trying to do it in every single way, shape, or form that I could at school. And that persistently doing that like evolved into me doing photography and styling
and everything else. And I'm sure that diplomacy has served you well in LA where like everything is like this like tactical minefield where like you have to like be sensitive to all these different parties and like how things are going to come across, right? Like there is a like, because you can be the most talented person in the world, but if you piss off the wrong people, it's like a wrap.
No work for the rest of your life. And it's not even right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And I think it's even a privilege for me not to have to like think about that. But starting in LA, I had to learn that really quickly. Yeah. Working with people that I would, common sense was like, this should be how things work. And it was never how it was working. And I was so confused. For like 3 years, I think I was just like confused. Like, why is this operating like this? But at some point, I finally understood like, okay, it can operate like this, but you don't have to be part of it. You have to rise above it or be different or show a different example and work a different way. And being in New York also helps me like stay on top of like what's real.
New Yorkers are not here for the bullshit. Like, no. I feel like New Yorkers are like,
absolutely not.
Have their bullshit detector on high alert at
always.
All times.
I feel like whenever I come back from New York to LA, I'm always like more aggressive, more on top of it. Like, I'm definitely cursing more.
I know.
Definitely don't have time for anything. Like, you know?
But I want to live in LA because I feel like it's a much healthier, balanced way of life.
LA makes you think about health. It makes you think about wellness. It forces you to think about slowing down. It makes you slow down.
Yeah, it's New York is much slower pace.
No, you could keep walking 24 hours, 24/7, and you'd be fine. You'd find something to eat. You'd find somewhere to go. You'd find people to party with. Like, you find people to work with. Like, it never ends.
It never ends.
No.
When you're styling people, is it totally different from when you're getting dressed yourself? Or do you kind of style people in your image?
I don't style people in my image because everyone has a very precise needs. And as much as I would love to put everything I put on myself on people, some people just can't wear that either. Yeah. And they're very afraid to wear certain things. I mostly just look after like what would make this person stand out the most.
Okay.
And what would highlight like a specific feature about them that they're either hiding or that they love so much. And kind of start from there and try to get an understanding of that and then build a wardrobe based on that. And how
do you build people's wardrobes or you just do like looks for a shoot?
Just pulling like designers. Oh, like, okay. Yeah, like what designers I want to pull. Sorry.
Like for your like rack of stuff.
Yeah, for my the wardrobe I build in like 2 hours. Some people I think, okay, I feel like they would work best with all female designers or all people of color designers because that would be really true to who they are. Mm-hmm. And I'll do that. Or they would work best with like all indie designers and a few designer brands.
You're
like high-end
ideas.
Designer
for, like,
brands.
Should I ever be in a position of privilege where I can choose, I'm going to like tell the stylist, like, I want only women designers.
I think it's important because it's obviously easy to just go Chanel, Gucci.
Yeah.
I mean, not easy. Like, but if you have the pull, you can do that and it's no problem. And it would be perpetuating the same shapes, the same silhouettes, the same things that we're seeing. But like, if you are in a place of power to impact someone's life, then why not do so?
I really admire what you do. It is very hard because it takes creative energy and mental energy.
It's a lot of mental energy.
Let's talk about LA for a second.
Let's do it.
Everyone's got some sort of filler, extensions, body enhancements.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing something.
Right.
There's not a ton of natural beauty.
Yeah.
So I've been having this like weird thought experiment. I'd love to know your thoughts. I have a theory that in 10, 15, maybe even sooner, I think this idea of natural beauty will be totally overrated because I think people will be able to customize how they look.
Yeah.
Depending on what they want and how much access they have to certain procedures. Like, I think the whole concept of natural beauty, like, people see pictures of what Bella Hadid used to look like.
Then they get upset.
No, but like, also, but I feel like they don't care. They're like, well, she's pretty now.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean?
Obsessed with her, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
She looks like. Yeah.
Do you think the idea of natural beauty will just become a thing of the past?
That's rough. I do somehow think it will, but not. I think it only will be in the places like LA and New York and Chicago. Like, I really think everyone else in the US is like, chilling.
What are these people doing?
Yeah, they're chilling. But places that it's like really high pressure. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in Chicago.
But what about like Facetune and like even outside of surgery?
Yeah.
Like, does what you naturally look like even matter anymore when you can just create? Like the Claremont twins are a perfect example. Like I look at their pictures and I'm like, this is like sick.
So crazy.
I'm like, this is crazy.
They're
like,
so
what am I looking at here? It's like an optical illusion. There are two of you, and you guys both look like this.
Yeah. And it's confusing.
It's confusing.
Yeah. Also because they're black, so it's like, it's just so confusing. You don't want to read too much into it, but you're also like, this is... you just gave me. It's really how I feel about it. I wish you could see that. It's just like a... You know, and I think they're great, by the way. Like, I think they're really
nice. I see they like you. I see
they're really nice.
They like all your pictures.
Yeah, they're cute. I had a good time with them one night, and they've been really nice.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they're lovely women, but
But it does freak me out, too, sometimes.
They've created their image. It's totally manufactured.
Yeah, and I'm actually struggling with your question because, like, part of me wants to be, like, more like, oh, we should be looking how we were born, and this is how, you know, this is it, but... Also, like, if it doesn't hurt anyone, if it makes you feel better, if it doesn't like hurt the environment, then who am I to say? If it gives you more pleasure in life, then who am I to say that you can't, like, you shouldn't be doing this and this is wrong and you should embrace your natural beauty?
Right.
Like, I just don't understand. I don't think that's, but would I be doing that? I'm scared of surgery to begin with, so I wouldn't even be there.
Yeah. I mean, like, girls in their 20s, get Botox now.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, to go back to my statement earlier where I was like, oh, it's only LA, Chicago, and New York, but actually it's not, because I remember when I was in high school in Illinois, in the middle of nowhere, like girls who had money were getting nose jobs as a graduation gift from their parents. So is that, like, who's judging that? Like, why, you know, like, to me that's the same as, like, Claremont twins, like, do whatever procedure to them, their bodies, because it just makes everything better for them. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I just realized that we're like entering this vortex where your natural features just won't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it will matter. I think that people are just going to create themselves in the image that they want to be.
That's so crazy to think about that. But then what becomes the image you want to be then? It reminds me of this Twilight Zone episode where the girl...
I love Twilight Zone.
So good.
So underrated.
And the narrator the entire time is just discussing how ugly she is and how ugly she feels.
Oh, I know this episode. I'll link to it in the show notes. So
please,
all of you guys...
Because
it's
so
on YouTube.
Good.
And, like, people sleep on...
Oh, it's
on
so
show.
Good. Yeah. And then when they... she's like, I'm finally getting the surgery. It's like, beautiful. Of course, you know the story.
Yeah.
I want to, like, talk about it a little more so they can check it out. But after she's like, is revealed, and it's like, she's this beautiful woman, and she's upset because she just wants to look at these ugly people around her who are hideous and scary looking, and she just wants to look like them because that's the norm, and
that's the norm.
Like, that's how, that's the most popular look.
Yeah.
So I'm down to see how humans can, you know, augment themselves. I'm really into technology. I'm into just anything forward moving. But I do also worry, like, what is going to be the look, though? What is going to be the ultimate? It's Kim Kardashian right now, but might it be, like, I don't know, Miss Piggy tomorrow? Like, I don't know. Because it's like, what's the barrier then? What's like, okay, we got to stop now. Maybe is it when we start amplifying our big toes or our fingers? And I know it's being funny, but, like, I really mean it. Because I think, even the fact that we're obsessed with asses is weird to me. Because it's actually really gross. You know?
Well, it's just confusing to me because I'm like, it looks like you're wearing like a diaper that's been soiled. Like, it's not attractive.
It's weird.
But I also don't want to shame it. But I do think that there does need to be some like level setting around
what is this look you're going for?
Yeah. Well, this is like a perfect segue into like the beauty trends that you're just totally over.
Yeah.
Do you have beauty trends that you just really don't like at all?
What were the ones I told you earlier? There's a couple, I think. I don't really like crazy eyelashes. I think that it's a
fake
scam.
Fake eyelashes,
I think that, the eyelash extensions, I think it's one of the biggest scams.
It's also really, really bad for your eyelashes. Yeah, because your own eyelashes fall out with it. I've done it a few times, and, like, you wake up in the morning, and you're like, my eyes look so... Like, it's... I understand the impulse to do it, but I've just been like, Brooke, no, don't do it. Because it damages your own eyelashes. It's much better.
Just to grow it out.
Yeah.
And I get really scared. I have seen girls with ones that are like crisscrossing, and those actually terrify me. I'm really weirded out by like little things like that and like polka dots. Like I don't, those are two things
you,
I'm like
hate polka dots.
Yeah, it makes me squirm.
Like small polka dots or big polka dots?
Small polka dots. Okay. Big ones are okay.
Oh, I have this thing. My mom has it too, and my brother has it. It's like when things are grouped closely together in a pattern, it like makes us feel like physically ill and we freak out. It's called like trichophobia or something.
It's actually a thing.
It's actually a real thing. Whoa. It's like certain textures. We call it texture alert in my family. So we'll be like, don't look at that tree. It's texture alert. But like my mom, my brother, and I, we all have it. And my dad will like look at it and he'll be like, it's fine.
What are you talking about?
And we're like, no, we're crying over
here. Yeah, you're like, this is terrible. And you're just like, yeah, my thing with polka dots is with ladybugs. I had a really weird incident with ladybugs and them like cutting into my skin and my skin was bleeding. So it was just like blood and all these like ladybugs with dots. And it just freaked me out so much.
Oh my God, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, my cousin used to collect them in jars for some reason. And one of the jars broke on my hand and it was just like blood and like ladybugs. And since then, I've just not been into polka dots.
Yeah, okay. That sounds traumatic.
Sorry.
Okay.
But the lashes, I get it because I've almost done it. I was in Thailand. I was in Bangkok once. And
oh, yeah. Bangkok's the place to do it for like $5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're offering lashes for $5. I was like, yeah, good. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what is it going to do for me, though? Yeah. Like, what is it? Is it going to just make my eyes more like alluring?
And also, like, you can't get it wet. It's like you have to sleep. Yeah. It's just like, I just want to be able to rub my eyes.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like the easiest person when it comes to, like, just beauty and wellness in general. Easy to my chagrin, to be honest, because I don't even I don't even wash my face at night sometimes.
Oh my God, that's really bad.
I know. I can't know, Brooke. That. I know. And I think it's like, I think I need to start doing it. I just put oil on my face.
Oh, you do oil cleansing?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. You're forgiven. That's not a sin. That's not a sin.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Other beauty things that you're just totally over.
Okay, what else did I... Because like, I don't want to insult anyone. Cause I'm sure...
No, it's not insulting.
I'm sure my friends are like, but I have... I just don't do it.
It can also be like one of the things that I'm just totally over. I stopped doing gel manicures because I realized I was becoming a gel manicure addict.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my nails aren't done right now, but like right now I'll do like a buff and shine, like I'll just do like a top coat.
Interesting.
Because manicures are expensive.
They're very expensive.
And once they're chipped, they look bad.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at my like monthly beauty budget. I do a budget each month and I was like, I'm spending so much money getting my nails done. Damn. So I stopped with like the nail art and like the super expensive
that's
nail stuff.
$100 for a nail set. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but gel is like 60, 65. And it's not like some people do gel and it lasts 3 weeks. Like, I'm not that girl.
Really?
No.
That's what I was going to ask you because usually when I do gel, it'll last me like a month.
So yeah, I'm not. If I was that girl, then maybe I could justify it. But I was just doing gel back to back and my nails were getting thin. So I was just like, I'm over gel.
I get that. I'm like that with acrylics because I try that. But I had too many incidents of it like breaking half, like my finger. Because I move around while I'm traveling. So like I'm lugging suitcases and there goes half my finger. Or half my fingernail, and now I'm like bleeding profusely, or I have to go get it fixed right away, or it gets worse.
Yeah, and it just interrupts your whole day.
Over a half a nail, and I don't like that. And I just, and also the contact thing that I can get over, but I think it's just like it breaking that I wasn't with. And as you can see, like if I ever get my nails done, it'll always
look
bad.
Are those your nails?
These are my real nails. I just get
They look so nice. They look
it's
unreal.
Actually. Terrible because if I get my nails done, I just let it be for as long as possible. So good and bad, like it doesn't look that good. Like don't look too closely.
No, they look really good.
But
they,
my nails stay healthy because I'm not doing the most to it. I'll leave this for like a month.
Thank you.
You know?
I think that's the key. I think people do too much and like the polish remover and all of that stuff is very toxic. And I think that the healthiest nails are nails that are left alone. So I'm just trying to like leave my nails alone.
I agree.
For a bit.
Just like buff and shine and go with it.
Yeah.
I feel that. And I feel like men appreciate it a lot more, to be honest.
Yeah.
I used to get I played violin for over 10 years.
Oh my gosh,
and
you're a Renaissance woman.
And my teacher used to yell at me whenever I'd have nails like long or even
has
like
it gotten
looking
away?
Good. Like it's like, what's the point? No one cares about this. You know, and so I always think about that mentality too. Whenever I get my nails done, I'm like, okay, I just spent $50 on this or $100 or whatever, but like no one really cares.
Yeah.
You know, I might be enjoying them while I'm typing, but that's it.
Yeah.
So no, I get that. I'm really anti just any like beauty treatments that are not really necessary or excessive. I know that sometimes you seem like a girl's day and that's cool and like I'd like that, but people get their nails done every 2 weeks. I just like,
oh. Oh, I was going like, every two weeks. Yeah, every week.
God. But you were getting gels at least. That's like supposed to be healthier for you.
No, it's definitely not.
Really?
I mean, like that UV light, like that bright purple light. Like, there's just no way that that's healthy. Like, I'm just not buying it.
No,
I'm
me not buying either. It. They just like say it's healthier.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
No, I'm not either. But I'm usually open with most things. I'm just not into like very extreme treatments. Like, why are we doing the vampire facial? Or like, why are we bleaching our, yeah, like our sideburns? Like,
although I feel like, who was it? Hannah Bronfman. Do you know her?
Yeah.
She was on the podcast and she made a very good case for like the blood facial.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I just need to try it.
Yeah. I haven't tried the vampire facial, so I feel like I can't knock it.
Yeah.
So I feel like you have a super, super busy life. And I'm wondering like how you stay calm through everything.
Oof. Good question. Am I calm right now?
Yeah, I mean, like, do you, like, no, I feel like you have to find some balance in all the craziness.
I have to. I think that some days when I know that it's getting a little too nuts, how I can usually tell is, like, my brain is the same way because it starts talking to itself.
Oh, what?
Does that make sense?
No.
No?
Not okay. Really. Explain more.
Like, if I'm really, really busy, nothing starts to makes sense personally, and so I always have this like inner dialogue that I feel like I'm not in control of. So that
what does your inner dialogue tell you?
It's basically just starts to like get very like monotone, and things I literally start repeating things in my brain. I wouldn't say out loud, but like I'll start repeating scenarios and conversations or pieces of conversations in my brain. And that's when I know, okay, something's not right.
Wow. That sounds like sleep deprivation, maybe?
No, it is. That is what it is, essentially. Because I don't really sleep. And so if I do like 2-3 hours a night for a week, at some point my brain will literally be like just repeating itself. And that's when I know, okay, no. You need fresh perspective, you need fresh thought, and you need to go to sleep.
Sweet. You'll sleep 2-3 hours a night. How often?
Just depends on like the week, like how crazy it is and how many projects I have. It's not all the time. Like last week was a little rough, but usually like 4 to 6, you know?
4 to 6 hours like of really sleep good. A night?
Yeah, like 4 to 6.
Oh my God. How do you operate? I like freak out when I get less than 8 hours of sleep.
I don't know when I've slept 8 hours. It's really bad. Like no one should do this. Wow.
So when you do, it feels like going to a spa.
Yeah. When I sleep for like a full 8 hours, it's like
you're like, oof, I'm a new woman.
So much energy. This
yeah. So do you sleep on the weekends?
I try to sleep on Sunday.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Grace, I want you to sleep more. This is so sad.
No, it's. I'm getting better.
You work too hard.
I'm getting better.
You work too hard to not sleep.
Like, I'm getting a lot better. Basically, I had a car accident last year, and that was because I wasn't sleeping. I just wasn't sleeping that week, and I was very like just out of it. And it was just like going through loops. And
is this, I saw that you posted something that was like, I almost lost my life.
Yeah. Because I fell asleep and I drove my car into a pole and I woke up with the pole, like almost like cutting me in half. And
I
finally was able to like wake up and be out of it. So since then I have been sleeping.
Did you have to go to the hospital and everything?
Oh yeah, I went to the hospital, but I just had a couple of contusions. Fortunately, it was like kind of like a miracle situation where my car was completely destroyed. I looked like a dinosaur stepped on it because it was like cut in half.
Oh gosh, this is like Kanye West story, but like you have a better ending. You have a better ending. Wow.
Not Republican still.
Yeah. But like you could have died.
Yeah, easily. And so that made me just rethink like what my value system was, like why I wasn't sleeping as much as I needed to, like why I was doing so much. And why I was, you know, certain people in my life that weren't really fostering a healthy lifestyle for me, like why they were still there so presently, you know? And it made me rethink all of that. And no, I've been sleeping a lot more. Don't get panicked.
Okay,
but some weeks are just really crazy.
Because you're busy, yeah.
You know, and then
do so much.
But I recognize when I start going through, it's like it's kind of like a loop thing my mind does. I recognize when I'm doing that, that's not good. Like that's not me usually. Usually I'm like really quick, really fast, like like can do 15 details in once, you know, but when it starts going in a loop, that means like it's not functioning properly. And that's when I'm like, okay, I either need to go sleep, I need to go like take a day off. I don't really do that, but like at least take like half a day or just like something, take some time to myself and just like read a book, something yeah. else, get something stimulating.
Do you meditate? I feel like everyone in LA meditates.
Everyone in LA meditates. I guess I technically do, but I prefer praying and meditation.
Okay.
And
I mean,
like directional meditation mm-hmm. than just like, I don't really like just sitting in a space humming for like an hour. I respect
and pay to do it. Like when people like pay for like these group meditation classes, I'm like, really?
Let me tell you about that.
I feel like we've all
my,
lost
my
this
friends
point.
Have been trying to get me into Kundalini for so young, like for so
your
long.
LA, your like, LA spiritual friends.
Yeah, yeah, and I just like, I've tried a couple Kundalini classes. I love it, but I cannot do this for 3 hours. I can't be like, I can't.
Kundalini is just breathing, right? Focusing
it's
on the breath.
Very heavy breathing, a lot of like, like, you kind of are in, like, a very rapturous movement situation.
Real hippie shit.
Very
yeah.
hippie.
Like,
ooh, and then there's yeah. this, like, little, like, white lady in the front who's like, now you're all cleansed. Like, what?
Excuse me? Isn't it so interesting how in places like Los Angeles and New York, you can be super spiritual, but God forbid you're, like, super Christian?
Mm-mm. Like, no, it's they like, are very anti-Christian, but they're
but it's the
very
same
spiritual.
Thing. It's the same exact principles.
It
like,
is.
If you, if I had a dinner party and I was like, okay, guys, I want everyone to pray before
yeah.
we eat, people would be like, oh, that's so weird. I was so uncomfortable yeah. when she made us pray. But if I was like, guys, before we eat, let's just take a moment and like thank the leaves and the ground for making this
absolutely.
Food and like breathe in and breathe out. Everyone
absolutely.
Would be like, I loved the meditation before dinner.
That was amazing.
People would be like, that was amazing. But if I like say the Lord's Prayer, people will be like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable.
I'm leaving.
Why is that?
Mind you, my mom gave everyone at my 16th birthday party Bibles as a party gift.
That's adorable.
I get it. I think there's so much stigma against religion and the history of religion and Catholicism and Christianity. I get it. But I think that at the end of the day, there are guiding principles to human life, whether
yeah.
you want to believe it or not. There is a reason why we're here. And you can study Buddhism to understand that. You can study Christianity. You can study whatever you want to understand that, but at the end of the day, there is something concrete to why we're here.
Yep.
And I can't deny that, no matter how much I would want to or how much I would dabble in anything else, like
yeah.
out of interest. But I think that it's just because of the history and also the hatred that all religions have given. And it's not the religion itself, it's the people, specific people who are so feel so strongly and adamant about this religion that they decides to be the face of the religion and showcase such hatred against other people.
Totally.
And that's where we get the, like, stigma of, like, I don't want to be associated with that, you know? Like, I
yeah.
don't know if that's, like, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just, like, at the end of the day, it's all the same
it's
thing.
All the same stuff.
It's all the same.
At the end of the day, yeah. What are the beauty trends that you really like or beauty products that you really like at the moment? Because I feel like you're probably exposed to a lot.
True.
Being on
yeah,
sets all the time.
Definitely. And then one of my friends is also a beauty editor, very, very good light. It's a male skincare website. But because
okay.
of him, I learned so much because I
okay.
shoot a lot of the content. So we basically go into male's closets. Males, it sounds so weird.
men's
closets.
Yeah.
Men's beauty closets and examine what they're using. And that has got me
men
to open.
Just, yeah, a lot of them are lost. Do you ever watch the show Queer Eye on Netflix?
No, I watched the old one.
Oh, the new one? You have
one.
To watch. It's on
really?
Netflix. It's so interesting how
yeah.
so many straight men associate basic self-care with being gay.
It's
and it's like,
so
wash your face. Take care
all.
Of yourself.
That's,
put on sunscreen.
That's all we're asking you to do.
No one's,
and
that has nothing to do with who you are attracted to.
I mean,
to.
He is a gay like man, but and a lot of content is featuring gay men, but at the end of the day, we do feature like a lot of straight men. And
it should
that's
self-care
it
shouldn't be gendered. It should
no,
have nothing to do
shouldn't.
With sexual orientation.
No,
it's just like
all.
A basic maintenance
it
thing.
Is
yeah.
right. And but because of this, but because of his platform, I've learned about like hyaluronic acid.
Oh
like,
yeah, hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic.
Shit.
I can't
yeah.
say it.
Hyaluronic. Yeah.
Hyaluronic. Okay.
Yeah.
I always want to say hydroconic. I don't know why or hydroconic.
Make it like you're making it like a marijuana strain.
I am. They should be. Why isn't? That
ooh,
would be great you for your skin.
Make that strain. Make a hyaluronic
like
strain.
Waking you up
yeah.
and like make you dewy. Yeah, I'm with that. I'm really into that. And also like vitamin C serums.
Ooh,
and like
yeah.
I'm really into just like oils and serums right now, most
yeah.
importantly. Because I'm trying to navigate like what my skin could look like versus
mm-hmm.
what my young like adult skin is versus like what all
yeah.
of that. I'm trying to navigate that because I know I have to start caring about it.
I know.
I really didn't care. I didn't have a skincare routine. I'd wear my makeup to sleep like for so long.
Yeah.
And I don't have like makeup artists. So I'm like, you're really lucky that your face doesn't look like.
The thing is, okay, I'm
20, gravel by now.
I'm 29 and I feel like a lot of the skin things that are associated with aging I've just always had. So one of them
yeah.
is like dark circles. I have on concealer now, but I've had dark circles like since I was 6 years. Like I've just always had dark circles. Yeah, it's not.
That's kind of cool though. I think they're cool.
People say that to me. They're like, it's cool. It like works. And I'm like, I don't know.
You're probably like, what is this?
But there are things that also like, I don't know if they're all related to aging. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What, like you mean like sunspot or like things on your
just
face?
Just like certain things that people get obsessed with and try to overcorrect. And it's like not because like you're getting old. It's just like this would be
this
happening to your face.
Totally. Yeah. Like I, if anything, I would want like softer skin and smaller pores. But is that because I really need that or want that or think I don't have that? It's because that's marketed to me and what I'm made to believe that would make me better.
Yeah.
You know, like why do I need smaller pores? Like what is the point of
smaller pores is definitely. Definitely. Because the thing is, like, pores don't change in size, really.
No, we've been taught
you can
that.
Open and, like, close them. And you want to make sure your pores are, like, unclogged. But the size of your pores is a pretty – because you can use, like, a primer and your pores will appear smaller.
Yeah.
But your pores are your pores.
Don't get smaller.
Yeah.
And I think that I've gotten so much miseducation on how, like, beauty.
No, the beauty world is
just
filled
so,
with miseducation and confusion.
So, like,
yeah.
Why? The gamut is wide of misinformation. So I try not to pay too much attention to any one particular source, but I've definitely heard the thing over and over again. Use this, it'll make your pores smaller. Use that, it'll make this smaller, that smaller.
Yeah.
Like it's just like we're obsessed with making things more like neat, more fine, more small. And I don't know if I want to fall completely into that or if I want to figure out what I really need.
Yeah.
For my skin to like
be healthy. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that's obviously going to be more important, but then like what is that?
Yeah.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
For me, I just try to use natural ingredients at every single step of my skincare and just try to like minimize the like toxic commercial crap.
That's a good way to start. Yeah, for sure.
That's probably the best way to start. But I'm also interested, like your parents being from Nigeria, like is there anything that they've carried over to you in terms of like skincare?
So that's another thing too. I think I was also spoilt with like really, really great soaps. Like my mom makes her own soap.
Oh, she does?
Yeah,
okay. I've been wanting to make my own soaps, but I haven't gotten into it yet.
Obviously, like black soap is a huge staple with us.
African black soap. I have a question. Is it like offensive? I just know from like when I see it sold on the street, like African black soap.
I don't know why it's called African black soap.
Because I feel like Africa's like this huge continent and it makes me feel uneasy when they're like African.
Also, where are you getting the black soap from?
It looks different
in different parts of the
world. I know. What is it?
Black soap can be red. I remember when I was in Nigeria, my mom had me get her these like red, I don't know what they're called, but like really these red like leaf, like thin leaf things. And she mixes that with the black soap because you can melt it down to be a liquid.
Okay.
So she melted it down, mixed these like red flakes with it and mixed like a bunch of other things.
Your mom
was
like my kind of
she's great.
Beauty DIY,
she's great.
Queen.
She'd make this soap and literally, because little brother has eczema.
So
she would make the soap and he would be perfectly fine for like weeks. Like,
better than any store-bought prescription.
Anything.
Yeah.
I don't even know what this thing is.
Ooh, okay. You'll have to text your mom after this.
I will.
Tell me what it is and I'll add it to the show.
Like, what do you put in your soap? I need to know. She puts honey in it too.
Ooh, nice.
So it's like honey, this like red vine thing, the black soap, lemon, just a couple of things that just like like your skin is like baby soft.
Nice.
You know? And so maybe that's why I never really care about this.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got like the plug.
I just knew that like you just have to have really good soap and you have to have really good oil. And that's always been like kind of the basis of what I do my skin.
Okay.
If I know, and vitamins obviously help, like zinc and everything. But
yeah, let's talk about zinc for a bit because I feel like I learned about zinc late and it apparently it impacts your facial glow situation.
Very. I see it. If I don't take vitamins versus when I do take vitamins, like my skin's very different.
Really?
And I think it also affects people who like don't have the healthiest diets, you know? Like if you have a very healthy diet and you're vegetarian and
you're getting all the right nutrients from
drink
food.
Drink 15 gallons of water a day, like you're fine. But for people who are on the move who don't do that, like you do have to supplement with vitamins.
Yeah.
I think zinc is, you know, super helpful, like B vitamins. Biotin, I'm not I know that does a lot for your hair. I'm not really sure as much for your skin, but
yeah.
Apparently it's all the same.
I'm on the fence.
About biotin?
Yeah, and also just like vitamins. I think that if it's a food-based vitamin, I believe in it. So like I take spirulina and flaxseed.
True. Yeah.
But then,
I'm not sure about the rest.
You
do have to, I have to take magnesium because if I don't, my shoulders start hurting.
Magnesium's also very relaxing. I do magnesium salt baths. Have you ever done that?
No. That sounds amazing. Lovely.
That's amazing.
Like in like a bath of magnesium?
Yeah. They'll sell like a magnesium Epsom salt.
Okay.
But it just relaxes all of your muscles. It feels amazing.
Yeah. Magnesium is really great if you have any shoulder pain.
Yeah. Oh, do you have shoulder issues?
Yeah. I think it's like, it still stems from the accident. And I started seeing a chiropractor, so they've been like cracking my like neck back in place. So sometimes it's the whole thing kind of scared me about like our healthcare. I mean, everything scares me about this country.
Yeah, I know.
But that process
going in a great direction.
Really scared me because I went to the doctor. I mentioned all these different pains I was having because I was in serious pain for like 3 months.
Oh, and they tried to give you opioids?
Instantly.
Wow.
Instantly. And not even like I told him what was wrong. He made a bunch of checklists.
Mm-hmm.
I had pills delivered to my house. I wasn't at my house
yet.
To my house in 30 minutes. By the time I got to my house, they had already dropped off.
That's so
two bottles
scary.
Of like,
and it's like heroin strength,
yeah,
right?
Two
it's
bottles like, of like, I don't know what. He was just like, you need this, you need this, you need this. And it was 60 pills in each bottle.
Wow. And it's like, is it like Percocet, Vicodin? I remember when I got my wisdom tooth taken out.
Yeah.
I took one of those pills once and I felt so loopy. And I was like, people take these for fun. I'm so confused.
I took one just because I was like, okay, if it's actually going to heal me, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I took one and then it relieves the pain, but it comes right back right
of
after.
Course.
So you have to keep taking
it again.
And then my roommate was being silly, so he took one just to try.
And he was
don't
like,
do this. He's like, I can't feel my tongue.
Oh my God, yes. Listeners,
don't take any pills.
But
you
wonder why people get hooked on these opioids and
because
it's like
it's
they
easy.
Get them prescribed to them.
Imagine if I was so busy or just didn't have any knowledge about like other alternatives.
Yeah.
I was so wrapped up in healing myself.
Yeah.
I would take those pills.
Of course.
Instantly.
Of course.
But I've always been about alternative medicine. I've always tried to figure out, I do cupping, I do like acupuncture.
Okay. I love acupuncture.
Else.
I've never done cupping.
I like cupping.
Can you explain it to me? Like what the full process is?
I had it done twice, but it involves a massage. But like basically take these cups.
Yeah.
Not regular cups, like suction cups.
Yeah.
And they heat them up. They massage you or they do after. They heat the suction cups up and then just place it on your back in specific zones.
Yeah. And it's supposed to like pull
out body.
Toxins.
Yeah. It could be your whole body too. And usually I get like 6 or 7 cups on me on my back, like on my neck. Feels very uncomfortable at first.
Oh, really?
But I have found that it has been like the longest pain reliever for me.
Really?
Yeah, acupuncture is like steady. To me, it's like acupuncture is steady. Cupping is longer. Chiropractor is instantly if it's just the bones.
Yeah,
if it's anything
okay.
else.
If it's muscle tension.
Yeah,
then
I need
like
to
massage.
Also get a massage right after. But for cupping, it's just like, it's just, I don't know, maybe because it's so painful.
I know. There is some sort of like pain psychology
it's
thing.
It's so painful. Like, and then you get, you know, your back is like scarred for a week. But
yeah, you have like these dark rings, right?
I don't mind.
Yeah, it's kind of, I feel like in LA especially, like you wear a backless tank top and you're like, I'm cool.
I've definitely seen people with their cupping scars. Like,
it's like a thing.
I went cupping, you know.
Only in Los Angeles.
Only in LA.
I feel like you're a great poster child for the big hair trend. Because I love that trend. Like, I feel like with my like very corporate job, like my hair can only be so big. But in my head, like the version of me in my head,
it's like
I would have your hair. Like
do you
I would
cut
have
your hair often because of that?
I feel like for my own natural hair, the absolute most I can contain, like, keep up with is like this length, okay. Like a tapered.
Yeah,
like
it looks
longer
great.
On top.
Yeah,
shorter in the back.
Yeah,
this is really my max.
Okay,
I've toyed with growing out my hair. Every wash day, I'm like, what is all
what
of this?
What is this? Okay, the secret is like I'm very, very lazy about my hair, like super, super lazy. But if I find something that works, I just ride that wave.
Okay.
If it's just like putting oil in my hair every day and it just looks fine,
then you'll do that. You'll do that.
If it's like putting water on it and drying in a specific way and it stays like that, I'm with it.
Yeah.
And then I found this really great hairstylist who's just super phenomenal. And
that's key. When you find the right stylist,
it's
a game changer.
That changes your life. So in LA, I'll go to her to dye my hair.
Are you willing to divulge her name? This is a big thing on Naked Beauty.
Her name is Ashley.
Ashley, are you willing to divulge contact details, which I can link to? No, because people are protective about their hairstylist, and I don't even.
No,
like,
she's honestly too busy for me, but like, but,
is she on Instagram?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Ashley,
guys, I'm going to link to Ashley's Instagram. If you can get an appointment with her, Godspeed.
She's a makeup and hairstylist.
Ooh.
She's my friend's, like, she does all my friend's makeup, for her shoots. And one day she's like, oh, I have a collaboration with Sugar Bear. If you like, let me dye your hair. I'll give you a bottle of Sugar Bear for free. Like,
wait, what's Sugar Bear? I don't know.
Sugar Bear vitamins is crack.
What is it?
That's like the hair crack.
Is this like what the flat tummy tea model
girls
shell
with
Sugar Bear stuff?
Yeah,
it works.
Same girls, but it actually works. And it tastes like candy.
Interesting.
It's so good. Yeah, Sugar Bear.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like maybe something my skepticism is on high.
I was too, but what I do is like, I'll do like my hair out for half the year and I'll do braids for half the year. And I do braids, I just like
take
gummies like crazy. Like I eat it like food. Like,
yeah, I love crochet. Actually, it's so funny. I did a lace front wig for the very first time in my life. And my God, it is. I
remember that.
But I didn't realize that it was like this extreme glue situation.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't use glue. It was like a gel and then like the spray from Got2B. I just watched every single YouTube tutorial.
You did it yourself?
I did it myself, yeah. And then I like laid the baby hairs down over the lace. But it was like, I was like, all these girls are just like wearing wigs to like fourth period class. Like young girls just
absolutely.
Like, because the YouTubers I was watching, they were like 17, like 16
absolutely.
At home being like, so this is how I lay my wigs. And I'm like, how? Like,
are you wearing this too?
But regular girls now are just like technical hairstylists. Like I'm
makeup artist.
Found it so difficult to lay a single lace front wig, and women would just do this in the morning before work.
I don't understand how it works still. I know that it makes me very naive, but I don't know how they lay everything down that it just looks so like tight and good and like natural.
You just have to like get all of your hair out of the way and then like you put this glue stuff down and then
but
you like cut
your
the lace.
Forehead disappear?
I feel like I've got a lot of forehead to
but everyone I've seen though, I feel like they look so good, but I'm always like, but where's your forehead in all of this?
I know. The wigs now that you see, you're just like, I always stare at Beyonce's hairline and I'm like, how? Where?
Is it still there?
Where does it start? Like, cause we know it's not her hair. It's not like a secret that it's not her hair, but her wigs are just so flawless.
So I'm still looking for Ashley's. They're so good. I feel like her natural hair is really great too, but I don't know.
I mean,
know.
Have I seen it? Like, I don't know. It's all this beautiful
illusion.
You
don't think we've ever seen her natural
have
hair?
Have we? I don't know. I'm pretty deep into the hive, and I feel like it's still a very open question. Okay, there was one time when she was on the Today Show.
What with the like curly, curly, like when it's like just.
That's wigs now. Wigs,
oh
you can
God,
lay down
right.
baby hairs.
You're right.
You can like create sideburns.
Wow, she really fooled me.
I mean, she's. The best hairstylists in the world, the best money, I mean, the best wigs money can buy, she has access to, right? So, like, we would be naive to think that we're ever seeing her hair.
I am naive like that because when I see her with, like, the little, like, curly baby hair, I'm just
I mean, when she does cornrows, that's a wig. Like, those cornrows, like, that's a wig, and it's like, how?
What is her real hair then? She probably has, like, hair down to her, like, knee.
But this is also goes back to my whole thing about, like, does it even matter, right? Like, does natural,
right?
Like, what does her hair look like? Doesn't matter.
I think as
point.
Long as, like, when you go home and you look at yourself in the mirror and
you're
you, like,
okay.
what you see. Like, if you look at yourself in the mirror and, like, you're, no offense to Naomi Campbell, but, like, your hairline is, like, gone.
I know.
Then it might poor be like, Naomi. Damn, I might need to stop wearing this.
I know, but I think she's been modeling since she was, what, 15? So yeah. She just doesn't have edges.
And it might be too late.
It's definitely too late.
Yeah.
It's definitely too late. My last and final question, I ask yes. everyone who comes on Naked Beauty this question.
Hit me.
When do you feel most beautiful?
When do I feel most beautiful? I feel most beautiful literally when I'm like in a white t-shirt with like nothing on underneath, like no makeup, hair back, and just like
bra, clean. No bra.
No bra. I don't actually really, I don't wear bras. I mean, I just don't have boobs, but.
Yeah, bras are very cumbersome.
I wear bras only when I, like, it's a statement.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I need to make it's a statement. Yeah. It's the look. But I just feel like when I'm just super natural and I smell good, I love like perfume and good smells and good scents. Like if I could just take a really long shower and like put like 15 different oils on, I'm like living.
Yeah.
Living. Like, and I feel very beautiful that way, you know, but I also feel super beautiful when I'm like dressed up and like I see a photo and I'm like, oh damn, I actually looked okay that night.
Yeah.
But in the moment I'm probably very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm it's just because I'm not. It's a lot.
Yeah, you just want to be free.
I just want to be free, like in a robe. I love robes. I love like luxurious robes. So this girl in London makes these like golden robes.
Okay.
Like TJ Khaled has them. Okay. Like Jay-Z has
them. Are these affordable at all?
Yeah, they're like less than 500.
Okay. Okay, a nice Christmas present. Yeah. A nice holiday present.
Yeah, maybe not less than 500. Like it's between like 300 to 600 or 700. Okay. But these robes, like I could wear, her name's Ani and it's just A-N-Z. And these robes I could wear like every day. Really? So good.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of robes.
Okay. I love a good robe. I love it. We're definitely linking to all of this. Everyone can get their robe life
sure.
on. Being comfortable at home is so overlooked.
Without a doubt. Like, even give me more like home comfy stuff.
I know.
Oh, Brooke, I know you know this already, but like heated blankets.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I got my weighted blanket.
I just discovered that, which is baffling to me. Baffling. My friend, I was at my friend's in her room, and she has heated blankets. And
oh,
I haven't.
Have you tried a weighted blanket?
What is a weighted blanket?
Okay.
Is it weighted and heated, or is it just weighted?
We need to just wrap this up immediately so I can show you my weighted blanket. I'm so excited.
I want to see this.
Thank you so much for being on Naked Beauty. Cheers.
Cheers to you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Happy belated birthday again.
I appreciate it.
Thank you guys all so much for listening.
Wow. Thank you, Brooke, for having me.
And I'll link to where everyone can find Grace and all of her fabulous work in the show notes. Oh,
appreciate it.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.